This encore program for Fire on the Earth was chosen based on the request from many listeners.
Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, for the beginning of the week of Fire on the Earth. And today, we have with us a very special guest, Andrew Comiskey. I've known Andrew for some time. Andrew is the founder and really the overall leader, executive of Desert Streams Living Waters Ministries. And it's a ministry that's dedicated to helping the sexually broken in life. And that might be all of humanity in certain ways, but in particular, helping people with same-sex attraction and some of the other realities that are emerging in our culture today. So welcome, Andrew.
Thank you so much. So happy to be here, Peter.
Yeah.
Fire on the earth.
Yeah.
Bring it,
Lord. Are you bringing the fire today? Are you going
to? I don't know. You'll tell me afterwards, but I'll give it all I can to stoke it at least.
Yeah. And there's just so much to your story. I mean, we just got done, friends, recording 2 hours of conversation together, and we could have gone on and on because there's just so much to Andy's story and the beautiful ministry that they're engaging in. But I wonder if just today, you could just tell people about who you are and your own journey, kind of bringing us to how Desert Streams came to be.
Oh, sure. Great. So, yeah, I was raised in Southern California. Really pretty neat parents. Nominal Christian home, but a lot of good ideals. And certainly the commitment of a man and woman to each other. And I had some good siblings, but we were raised kind of in the cusp of the sexual revolution in a beach town in Southern California. And I was a little different from my two older brothers. I have a younger sister as well. My two older brothers were kind of rough and normal demonized kids, and they would take out their frustrations and conflicts on me and the way they acted out. And so I really didn't kind of like them. I disidentified in some ways with the masculine. And my father was a good man, but he had his issues too, and I certainly had mine. And I think I pretty early on judged my father as not a safe person. And so I kind of grew up disidentified from some pretty good guys even that I grew up with. They weren't perfect, but my reactions weren't either. But regardless, the effect of that was kind of a divided self where I was not free to own my own masculinity. And that became more of a problem growing up into late boyhood, teen years, became aware of same-sex attraction. And culturally, I had lots of freedom to act that out. Everyone was acting out sexually. Everyone was overexposed. But for me, that began to express itself in some of the kind of very obvious earmarks of homosexual freedoms in the Los Angeles area. And so I began to identify and act out in that way. My two older brothers caught wind of this fiery Jesus through the Jesus People movement sweeping the coastal areas at that point, and they became neat Christians. And so their transformation was really dynamic for me because they became tender and kind of attuned to this brother of theirs who was exhibiting, you know, kind of this the digressions of the gay self and becoming kind of silly and foolish and more disintegrated as a result of his owning his homosexuality the way I had. So their care for me was converting. Ultimately, long story short, I did become a Christian, and I discovered a handful of people that I could trust and begin to walk out, truly becoming a follower of Jesus through identifying with his members. You know, I became a gay person in relationship to other, quote, gay people. So I knew that in becoming a Christian, I had to find bearings in the community. That was so important. Gratefully, I did. I had a commitment to that because I had the revelation of Jesus. I needed him, and I knew he loved me, and I knew something of his Holy Spirit at work in me that was inviting me into sonship and helping me overcome slavery to a host of behavioral addictions, I also needed some deep healing of my soul. Well, I was a student at UCLA at the time, and this Vineyard Church had just started there, and I started going, and it was amazing, and there was a lot of fire, a lot of Holy Spirit power, but there was also an understanding of the human person that we need help to be reconciled to who we are as people. So in that way, I dare say this original Vineyard defied just, it's all spiritual, it's all deliverance, you just need to feel good again or get something else cast out of you. I believe in deliverance and all that stuff, but really my problem was more my problem, that I needed to resolve some deep things in regards to my sexual humanity. So I really had a good foundation at the Vineyard, I have to say. And I also had good fellowship with whole enough men. I was working out what it meant to be a man amongst men, which I hadn't done at the developmental period that most boys becoming men do. I had to redo that. God helped me. And I got through it, began to have longings for a woman, met a wonderful woman. And my pastor said, well, why don't you start helping people here in our community? Because we're all Angelinos, you know, we're all overexposed. But now, seriously loving Jesus, people needed help. And so my fiance at that point and I started our first group in West Hollywood. Then it was almost entirely people coming out of gay lifestyles. It then expanded to become more of the range of sexual brokenness, which, as you said, is kind of the majority of us. But we saw a need to gather within boundaries, with the fire, but also with insight as to our need for good, chaste fellowship and also for accountability, for praying for each other in the deep areas of need and wounding. And that was really the beginning of Desert Stream Ministries in 1980, there in West Hollywood.
Yeah, and your own journey during that time, I know you had to shrink it for the sake of time.
Yes.
What were the critical sort of moments of change or the things that impacted you the most in terms of your own integration as a person and coming to terms with what you hadn't at that point?
I would say, I mean, definitely spiritual chastity, which is Jesus, 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 yeah. Jesus alone. Jesus will be everything to me. I don't know what my future is, but I know he's my future. He makes a way and I'm going to walk in it. I had a deep confidence of that. And also knowing scripture a little bit, enough of it. I was a smart guy. I could read good books on biblical understanding of sexuality. I realized God will never bless my homosexual identity or any future relationship. So honestly, this took about 2 years, but I closed the door because I realized God cannot. He is incapable of blessing this.
What do you mean and why?
Simply because I knew that any sexual behavior outside of a long-term commitment to the opposite gender was sin. That was just the clear witness of Scripture. And it starts really positive with this gift of sexual love, and then it just goes crazy. And I was a part of that, a victim and a perpetrator of sexual sin. So I wanted to be blessed by Jesus. So I just said, Lord, okay, if you want me to just be celibate or, I don't know, I'll just serve you or whatever you want to do. But then I realized God was inviting me into the Imago Dei, to this original duality. And I came to believe that. So first it was like, overcome mortal sin. Because God isn't going to bless you in that. Because I think then there's a part where you start saying, well, I'll find a good guy who's amazing and Christian, and we'll just be friends with benefits, you know? And then I thought, oh, well, God can't bless that. That's impossible for him. Those were just clear things. But then came the invitation to, I need to make peace with the man that I am, and I need integration. So that involved choosing to live in a very close environment with these neat, on-fire Christian guys to work through my ambivalence, my hatred and fear of men, and at the same time, this erotic, romantic sort of fantasy about man, a kind of idolatry. I had to work that out in real time with real guys. And I had the grace of this community to do that with Jesus at the center of that. I also got some good therapy there. My church was great with that. If you need help, get the help. Amen. Like, no shame in getting help. Gives you objectivity and good insight. Helps you to stay focused on what you need to stay focused on when you're defensive and just don't want to deal with your life anymore. All of those things were super helpful. My wife also, this woman that became my wife, she was amazing. She knew she had her own brokenness. So we were working out things together in a good way. Not, I wasn't asking her to be my therapist or my priest. I wasn't trying to be her healer, savior, counselor. But we were straight with each other, and that was good. My pastor was also really smart. He got us a mentor couple where the husband had also come out of homosexuality and was doing really well with his wife and young family. And we got good mentoring. How do we navigate some of these things? And it was good. Like, we were ready to get married. I loved her. I wanted her. I wanted to be faithful to her. I had enough self-control to believe I really could be. So those were some of the things that contributed for me.
It's really good. You've written a wonderful book that just came out.
Thank you.
Friends, called Rediscovering Our Lost Fullness, A Guide to Sexual Integration. We just have like a minute. Unfortunately, this goes by so fast.
Yes.
How would you describe the book, and who can it help? Who's it for?
Well, it's for any kind of Christian. It reflects my journey into Catholicism, which is such a gift for me to be a part of this great church. It's really about understanding, how does fiery kingdom Jesus open the eyes of our hearts to our need to live chastely, to live in robust integration with who we are as men and women that have this river of life called our sexuality that we need to learn how to steward with wisdom and compassion in order to dignify this other. It's all about dignifying in light of our owning our good sexuality and also some of the brokenness that we're still working out. So it's a guide to sexual integration from a Catholic perspective, given that I have years of working in inner healing recovery ministry as an evangelical minister in the Vineyard.
Wow, thank you very much. And friends, I want to encourage you to look, get a hold of this book. You get it on Amazon. Is that right? Is
yes.
It on Amazon?
Yes, places? Or desertstream.org. You could order it from us too.
Great. Well, good news is Andrew's going to be back with us again tomorrow. If you enjoyed this show, get your friends to tune in. God bless you. Hope to see you then.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
In the scripture, Jesus' teaching on the conditions of salvation is consistent, urgent, and pervasive. Friends, I'd like to offer you Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? The booklet unpacks several gospel passages so we can find and stay on the narrow path that leads to eternal life. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE. That's renewalministries.net/FOE.